May all we do and say glorify you. May your people be edified. We ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to show you something real quick. I'm just going to start out with the number one point that I want to make this morning. I'm going to just start right at the beginning. So you know how you watch a movie, some Hollywood movies, sometimes some TV shows, where they'll give you the ending first, and then they'll say 3 weeks earlier. So they got to walk you back to how I got to this point. I want to walk you guys back to how Jesus gets to this point. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, there's an amazing verse. Marcus is going to put it on this screen. Mark Jr. is going to put it on that screen. This is the NLT. This is, I don't know what this is. I think this is the NAS. Okay, so here's what Jesus said. Watch this. Jesus said, "But I warn you, unless your righteousness exceeds," some versions, some translations says, like this one is better than, the NAS says surpasses. I think the King James Version says exceeds. But what Jesus is saying is that unless our righteousness, us here today, March 2nd, Justin's birthday, 2025, yeah, yep. Shout out to Jay. Unless our righteousness is better than that of the scribes and Pharisees, we can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now listen, the scribes and Pharisees were pretty righteous dudes, ostensibly. On the outside, these guys fasted twice a week. They gave all their money to the poor, or a lot of it to the poor. They paid their tithes religiously. They went to church religiously. They kept the rules fastidiously. These guys were nice. They were kind. They were polite in all of these areas from the outside. But on the inside, these guys had problems. And that's what Jesus was referring to. And watch, I'm going to show you this. I'm going to show this example that I thought of. A math problem. 123, add that to 789. When you add this together, and this is just a random number, I'm just showing you, I remember this from elementary school, I think it's what's called columns math columns, and where you learn to carry the one. So 3 and 9 is 12, you carry the one, so 1, 2, and 8 is 11, carry the one again, 1 and 1 and 7 is 9. You get 9 and 12. Here's the problem. The Pharisees had memorized the answer of 9 and 12. So they were giving, it's 9, 12. Jesus would say, well, what's righteousness? The Pharisees would say, righteousness is 912. The problem is, if Jesus asked them, how did you get there? They couldn't get there. They would say 123 plus 789. Let's see, 3 and 9. Here's what they would do. They would say that's 12. 2 and 8, they would say that's 10. And 1 and 7, they would say that's 8. So they would say, well, it's 81,000 actually. And that's not the answer, right? You got to do the carrying. You have to know. Here's the key. You got to know the rules of basic math. You have to know and understand the processes. The problem is the scribes and Pharisees could get the result. They just didn't get the process. And Jesus said, that ain't good enough. Do you remember some teachers? I had some teachers in elementary school, maybe even junior high. They would give you the quiz before the quiz. They would say, okay, on Monday, they'd say, here's the quiz. This is going to be the quiz Friday. This is not just what's on the quiz. This is going to be the quiz. So all you had to do for you, you know, really brainiacs. That's right. I'm looking at you, Tiff Lacey. You guys would memorize the quiz. And then you would have the right answers Friday. Jesus said, that's not what I'm looking for. I need you to understand how to get to the answer. I need you to understand what the answer means. I need you to know the process, to know the rules, know the parameters of math or addition and subtraction and algebra. You need to know the rules so that you can't just, I don't want you just to know what this means. I should be able to interchange these numbers and say, okay, well, I'm out of paper, but say the number was 9,000 and this number was 10,789. Could you add that? Could you subtract that? Could you multiply that? See, when you know the rules, it doesn't matter what the numbers are. Jesus was saying, you guys need to know the rules. And so for those of us who will exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, we will exceed it not because we're smarter, but because we know how to get to the result. We understand the process. You all with me? Yeah. And you know what? I'm gonna tell you one more. Music and math kind of work together. I remember taking, is my niece on? My niece, Adrian. We started taking piano lessons together. One of the things that I would do, which is called cheating. I know, I'm confessing. Confession is good for the soul. Mrs. Fleming was our piano teacher. And one thing Mrs. Fleming would do is, whatever the piece was, she would play the piece. Our piano lessons on Friday after school. We take the bus to piano lessons. She would play the piece, and then your pastor would memorize. The Lord had blessed me to play by ear, so I had a pretty good ear. I would memorize what she was playing. And next Friday when I came to the lesson, I would just play it from memory. I didn't know what key I was in. I didn't know what the scale was. I didn't know what the rest meant. I didn't know where the staffs ended and began. I could just play the piece. Well, Mrs. Fleming caught on to that. So one week, she came, it was time for my lesson, and she put a different piece in front of me that she hadn't played or given last Friday. She said, play this. You know how to read notes, right? You've been reading this every week. Play this song. Homeboy couldn't bust a grape. Had no clue where C major was, D minor, or F sharp, because I had been memorizing the songs. Well, then she caught on to that, and I started to learn how to read. And I thank God that I knew how, that I learned to read. Amen? Because now I can read now. I wouldn't have been able to read then. Well, except for Mozart's concerto in D minor, I can read pretty much everything else, but no, I can read music now. But the point is that I knew how to get to the result. I didn't know the process. And it crippled me as a musician, because until I learned, understood, this is what it means to be in the key of D. This is what it means to be in the key of C sharp. This is what it means to be in the key of A flat. Then when you know the notes and you understand the scales, then you can play any song in any key, because the rules apply across the board. You see that? And that's what the Pharisees miss. They kept listening to play by ear. They were cheating. And Jesus said, you really, your heart isn't right. You can do the results. You can look holy, but you can't be holy. You can look like you're righteous, but you're really not righteous, because you're only doing the outside and you're not doing the inside. What's our lesson for today? Because I'm going to be really short today, because that's the end of the sermon. I'll give you the beginning of the sermon next week. The point of the lesson is that what the Lord wants from us is to be holy from the inside out. You see? Righteousness is not about observing rules and regulations. The law basically consists of three components. Jesus was referring to when they said they were just trying to keep the law. Well, the problem was that the law, there was a civil component. You kept the law of the land, the civil law. Then there was what's called the ceremonial law. The ceremonial law was those laws that's mentioned in Exodus and Leviticus. You know, like, you know, washing your hands, certain meats you couldn't eat, certain things you couldn't do, certain laws of cleanliness. Those were more ceremonial, okay? So you have your civil laws, you have your ceremonial laws, and then there was one more law, and that was the morality laws, the laws, the moral laws. And that included the Ten Commandments or the laws from Moses. And he said, you got to keep those too. So we had, so when you add it all up from Genesis to Deuteronomy, there were over 600 laws. It wasn't just the Ten Commandments that are mentioned in Exodus chapter 20. There were over 600 laws. Some people say 613. But the point, and they get that from a weird combination of the amount of bones in your body and the amount of days of the year. So they add like 367 and 259 or something like that. It's a crazy number. It really wasn't what God intended, I believe. What I believe God intended was that the laws were going to break us down like a tutor and show us you can't get there from here. You can't be holy enough. Amen? That's what Paul said in Galatians 3:24. He said these laws, these rules, the law was supposed to be a schoolmaster, a tutor, to show you that you needed Jesus because you couldn't keep it on your own. That was the whole purpose of the law. The law was never designed to be kept exactly. Because James 2:10 says, if you offend one of the laws, then you're guilty of breaking all of them. So it was never intended to be about a rules relationship. Yeah. It was never a relationship based on rules and regulations.
I'm trying to video chat you so you can see
It was always based on love. Amen? I got it. Yeah. It was always based on love. The Lord always wanted us to love him. Hence the Shema in Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God. Hear, O God, the word Shema in Hebrew means hear. Hear, O God, Lord, hear our Lord God. God, our God is one. And he goes on to say that we should love the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. And then the second law, Jesus threw in Leviticus 19:18, which kind of concludes, he said, in the second law is much like the first one. He said, that means that you should love your neighbor as yourself. And that was the way that Jesus answered the trick question that the scribes and Pharisees tried to throw his way over in the book of Mark when they said, oh, master, what's the greatest of all the rules? What's the greatest of all the commandments? And Jesus blew them up because he didn't give them just one. He gave them two. And the reason he gave them two, I believe, is because of this last diagram I'm going to show you. Hey, Marcus, can you put the right angle up that I use so often, this right angle picture? The purpose of the right angles, I've always shown you guys this basic geometry, that you create a right angle by having a perpendicular line intersect with a horizontal line. And so you get this little, you get this thing right here. So I found this little diagram online and I added the words you, God, and man just to show this example. But what I want to just tell you about this is that here's the problem with the Pharisees and their righteousness. Their righteousness was always like this. It was always vertical. It was always, I can love God without loving you. I can't love God without loving you. I can't circumvent you and just jump to God and say that our relationship is mano-a-mano and I don't have to worry about how I treat you. That was the Pharisees' version of righteousness. Jesus said, that's not good enough. You can't be right with me. You can't have a right angle, a right relationship with me without including your fellow man and brother and sister. If you don't include them, then the relationship is not right. It's not correct. And that was his accusation against them, that they were only observing this portion of the righteousness. It was incomplete. They had to include the man aspect of it for it to be acceptable by God. So God said, my second commandment is much like the first one. You got to love me with all your heart, but the whole golden rule, the whole Shema, the whole law is that you also love each other with all your heart. Isn't that great? That means even if y'all don't like me, you still got to love me. You gotta love him if you want to be pleased in God's sight. You can't say you love God who you've never seen and you don't love Rod who you see every day. That's what he's saying. You see that? God just makes it so beautiful. He forces us to treat each other the way he treats us. If God is good to you, we always say God is good all the time, right? Y'all always talking about how good God is. Well, how well are you treating your brother? How well are you treating your sister? If you're not treating them good, then you really aren't practicing the fact that God is good. Because God is good means that we're good to one another. Amen? All right, we'll finish this later, tomorrow, next week. Lord, we just thank you for your word. May you sink it into our hearts. May you write it into our hearts that we'll not only hear it, but as James 1:22 says, we'll do it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. All right. Any, yes.